The second play in the Bounce Back series is Honesty's the Best Fiddle.
All right, cut out that talking. Right, let's serve your embroidery over here. Finished ones in the bin, ones you're working on the pile. Now get a move on.
Oh, drop dead, you lousy screw.
All right, 354 Smith, let's all hear it. What was that you said?
What, me, sir? I never said a word. Ask him.
I'm not asking anyone, but I'm telling you. You keep that trap of yours buttoned up, me lad, or it's another fizzer, the governor's office, and 5 more days' remission up your whisket.
Yes, sir.
Right and left. Fire! Fire, lad. 23 off from mailbags.
23, yard.
42 off from Taylor's shop.
42 off.
Men for bars, come on, get a move on. Pick it up now. Hip, high, hip, high, hip, high, hip, high.
Leader thinks he's still in the army. God, wouldn't I like to meet him on the first night outside? I'd duffy him up so his old slag of a ma wouldn't know him from a... Bless him. Shut up, smudger. Some of you would-be tearaways make me tired. If you met Tyson or any other prison officer outside, you'd knuckle your forelock and try and bite him for a fight for a couple of chops.
That'll be the day.
Listen... Are you still pally with the gent who cleans the reception office, I heard?
Smiler or Robin?
Not exactly. I owe him 1/2 ounce of snout, and he's getting nasty about it.
1/2 ounce? Oh, thank heaven I'm not a slave to the tobacco habit.
Right. I'll give you 1/2 ounce tonight at the table tennis tourney. You'll give it to him.
Blimey, are you setting up in opposition to the Prisoner's Aid Society?
You'll restore the rapport that existed before.
Restore the walk.
Get friendly with Smiler again. I shall be wanting some advance info from him about a client I hear is being transferred to this nick from the Scrubs. Now, this is what I want you to do. The client who is coming here, his name is Harding. James Harding.
Hello, Smiler. Not playing table tennis?
Yeah. Mr. Flippin' Smudger Smith, eh?
What about that 1/2 ounce?
All right, don't get your tonsils in a knot. That's what I'll come over to give you. Here you are.
Good. Wonders will never cease. And I thought I'd have to get the boys on you to collect this. So,
Smudger always pays. I hear there's a new bunch due in from the smoke shortly.
Yeah, Monday. Nothing big. 2 villains, a Tom Mann and an incorrigible indecency, have got the wrong trick sightless to defend him. The tone of this place is going down.
Oh, I hate kinks. I was wondering if a mate of mine was amongst them, geezer named Harding.
Oh, yeah, he's a Tom Mann. James Harding, age 37, 3 previous convictions, specialises in breaking up fine jewellery for the fences. He cop 5 this time. Yeah, governor's put a note in the book that he's to be kept on gardening right through his old bird. Cunning old bleeder. That's in the hope it'll knock his hands about, keep him out of mischief for a bit when he gets out.
Yeah, and that's what they call rehabilitation.
Lead out for exercise. Come on, come on. Move, move, move! Cut out that talking.
Find out, Smudger.
He gets here on Monday.
You're sure it's the same man?
Well, I'm telling you, and I... Tom Expert specialises in breakups for fences. He's booked for the gardening squad, poor bleeder.
Gardening squad? Oh, if anything I hate, it's the great outdoors. Oh, well, nothing for it. I shall have to wangle a transfer there myself.
You'd never make it. Anybody volunteers for Swede bashing, they shove him straight in the nut bin.
Yes? Yeah, what's the trouble, Pawson?
I'm not sick, Doctor, but I
have... What the devil are you doing here?
Actually, a request, sir.
And you should make it to the governor through the proper channels. I happen to be the medical officer.
Yes, I am aware of that, sir, but my request has a... certain medical connotation.
All right, get on with it.
I'm due out in a couple of weeks, sir, and I have been employed on sedentary duties throughout my sentence. I should like to go on gardening work.
Huh?
You see, there's an old clergyman down in the country. He knows all about me, sir. My father's cousin, as a matter of fact. He's offered me a home at the rectory in return for certain duties in the garden and churchyard.
You? Clipping hedges and forking manure?
It happens to be honest work, sir. Probably the first I've undertaken since I left school.
Yeah. All right, I'll take a flyer on it. I'll speak to the governor. Report to Mr. Covell tomorrow morning with the gardening squad.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
Right. Now, you two, I want this half-acre plot weeded by dinner, see? And when I say weeded, I mean just that.
Down cold this morning.
Yeah.
Care for the rolling for the cigarette?
What's wrong with it?
Nothing, as far as I know. It's just that I don't use the stuff much myself.
The only blokes I know who give anything away for nothing in quad are stoolies and puffs.
Perish the thought that I am either. If you don't want it, you don't want it. There's no need to be offensive about it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sure, I'm gasping for a smoke. Don't take any notice of me. I'm always the same for the first few days and a new neck. Yeah, tar.
It's all right. Yes, I know the feeling only too well.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, my name's Porson.
Ah, pleased to meet you. I'm Harding. What's your lot?
Company flirtation, share pushing, generally tearing the tail.
Ah, knob on geezer, eh? I work with me hands myself.
A craftsman. I have always admired people clever with their hands. What's yours, say?
Nah, tomfoolery, jewellery. Mm. Yeah, I'm a breaker.
Oh, you mean you'll smash the stuff up after it's been lifted?
Well, put it that way if you like. There's a hell of a lot more in it than that, though.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. A good breaker can make a difference of up to 50% this way or that to the screwsman and the fence.
You know, I love hearing about other people's work.
Eh?
Help yourself to another cigarette. I rolled a very thin one that time.
Oh, it's hard, if I do. Oh, yes, sir. Breaking in everybody's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see, settings, particularly platinum settings, leave marks on the stones. As easy for Hatton Garden or Antwerp man to read as if the criminal record office thinks that the office could read our dabs.
Mm-hmm.
If we're stupid enough to leave them plastered around a job.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, well, that's where your good breaker comes in. He knows where to look for setting marks, and what's more, how to polish them out.
Is it so important to remove the marks?
Oh, my oath it is. It's everything. You see, when a hatful of first-class Tom is knocked off, it goes underground for a time. But eventually, it's got to surface somewhere, and all respectable jewellers watch out for it on behalf of the insurance boys. So as like as not, I've had to pay out in full to the client it's been lifted from.
I never knew your side of the business was so complicated.
Oh, yeah.
You must have handled some pretty large deals in your time, Mr. Harding.
Ah, you can call me Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, big deals. Oh, you can say that again. Some of the biggest. Oh, very much in demand. Learn me trade proper, you see. And me dear old dad.
Yeah.
Best facer in the business, he was.
What's a facer?
Oh, he's a bloke that makes imitation jewellery.
Hmm?
Yeah, copies. Dead ringers.
I'm afraid I don't quite...
Well, look, put it this way. You're a geezer. A real swell with, say, 100,000 knickers worth of family heirlooms in the form of some very sweet Tom.
Tom, the Tom for his jewellery, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, well, you don't want it knocked off, and neither does your insurance company. So, you do the sensible thing and keep it in a bank or a safe deposit. But you've got an ever-loving who likes wearing it from time to time. So what do you do?
Well, what do you do?
You get a set of imitations made up by a facer. The missus wears them, and the real McCoy stays in the beater.
Oh, yeah, but surely people would know they weren't real.
Oh, not a set made by my old man. Oh, lummy. The way he could cut and polish a lump of ordinary glass, and then set it in white gold that looked like platinum, bring tears to your eyes.
Was there much call for his service?
Nah, not a hell of a lot. Wasn't all that much first-class Tom around, even in them days. But I'm talking about before the war.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, he kept busy. He took his time over a job.
How long, Jim?
Oh, take him a couple of months to copy a necklace, bracelet, eardrops and a brooch, for instance. Longer for an elaborate bit like a tirara. Oh, yes. Dead careful he was.
Jim,
Do you know, I find this fascinatingly interesting.
Sure. I could tell you some stories about some of the high-ups the old man did jobs for, make your deco stick out like organ stones.
Yes, but, Major, here's Mr. Coble speaking up on us.
Oh. Come on now, what do you think this is? Kilted large show on invitation day? Get back into them borders, or else...
Hi, Gov. How's the Brussels sprouts?
Funny fellow.
Listen, I want some more tobacco. When Harding smokes, he talks, and I'm getting the whole story by degrees.
What story?
Mind your own damn business, Smudger.
Yeah, but that's my tobacco. It's all I've got.
Oh, my back. Well, look at these hands of mine. Yeah. Take me weeks to get them back into shape when I get out. That's all they do it for. Sadists, that's what.
Get yourself a cigarette, Jim.
Oh, try. Yeah, look, I don't like mooching all your snout.
Quite all right, my dear chap. I don't use it myself.
Yeah, but snout's gold in a nick. You could have swapped it for chocolate, hair oil, extra scoff from the kitchen gang, anything.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I don't want for much when I'm inside. I have a small but beautifully regular supply of modest creature comforts organized for my whole stay.
Boy, that must cost something.
Yeah, not me. The family sees to everything.
Must think a lot of you.
They do anything in the wide world for me.
Eh?
Just as long as I keep the wide world between myself and them, and of course don't write to them on prison notepaper.
What? Putting a black on your own family?
Oh, they can afford it. My cousin, the present Duke.
Yep.
Why should I bore you with my affairs? I'd much rather hear more.
You've got a cousin, a Duke?
For my sins, I assure you, I take no pride in the fact.
A Duke? Well, that must make you a lord or something.
No, only an honourable. Mine is the cadet branch of the family.
I see the Duke. Oh.
Ilmingshire. But please go on with what you were telling me yesterday about your old gun.
What, Ilmingshire? Blimey. The old man done a job for him once.
Did he now? It didn't do much good, apparently. The clod had all the family jewels pinned from his London house a couple of years ago. The lot.
He didn't, you know. It was the old man's faces that got lifted.
No, nonsense. Don't you remember the press stories? It happened when I was in the village just before being shifted down here. 85,000 quid's worth. Oh, no, it was the real stuff, all right.
I ought to know. I was serving me time under the old man when they was done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emeralds and Ruby City diamonds, right?
Yes, I believe so. I only saw them once when I was a kid at Eton. The old Duchess, my aunt, lent them to my mater for the wedding of one of the minor royalties, I think.
Minor royalties?
Still, I am not the slightest interested in that idiot Ilmingshire's affairs, so long as he sees that my allowance is paid regularly.
Minor?
You know, you are wrong, Jim. It was the real stuff that was pinched.
It wasn't? I remember the job well. It was a face and brain.
What on earth is that?
Oh, the real stuff was broken up by the old man and flogged in Antwerp as soon as the faces was made.
Good God. That's one in the eye for Cousin Ilmingshire. So the family have been treasuring a little snide all these years. I should love to tell him and watch his face.
Tell him? It was him as arranged it, for God's sake.
What?
Short of dough at the time he was. Don't you go telling nobody, see? But nobody. Well, he all made me come out with that, I don't know.
My dear chap, I forgot it already, so there's no need to get hot under the collar. My lips are sealed. Say, the chappie who knocked them off, I bet he was sore when he tried to sell the stuff.
Oh, not half he wouldn't. Things he said about a dishonesty of the upper classes would have made your hair curl.
Oh, I see you knew him then, did you?
Yeah, of course I knew him. It was me brother-in-law, Jelly Boy Simpson. Married me sister.
Oh, damn it all, Jim. Couldn't you have warned him that he was wasting his time screwing Ilmingshire safe?
Well, I would have done if I'd known, but Jelly Boy was always a bit secretive about jobs he was going to pull. Yeah, poor old Jelly Boy. Doing a bit of porridge himself at the moment. Parkhurst.
For the Ilmingshire job?
No. They never made that one stick. He was nicked a week later on a bank job. Copter 7.
Ah, so the faces he lifted from my cousin were never recovered?
No.
That's if they were the faces. All due respect to you, Jim, but I've still got my doubts.
Are you calling me a liar?
Lord, no. But you could be mistaken.
I don't make them sort of mistakes. Not in trade matters.
No, I suppose not.
Oh, lovely job the old man made of that stuff. One of his best. My sister showed it to me one night just before I got nicked for my present engagement. I could have swore it was the real stuff.
Oh, your sister is looking after it, is she?
What's that?
Down here, there, Kerbal.
Now, look, I've been talking too damn much. I always do, Nick. You forget it, see? Forget all I said.
My dear Jim, anyone would think I couldn't be trusted.
All right, come on, you two. Miking again. It may be your last day, Paulson, but I got me eye on you.
Right. Next. Ah, you, Paulson. Useless to say, don't let me see you here again in your case, I suppose, but do your best.
Yes, sir.
And you, Smith.
I'm going straight, sir.
I seem to have heard that somewhere before.
Open the trap, Mr. Dalrymple. Hardly seems worth closing it for some of them.
So here you are. I've been looking for you everywhere.
Blimey. You got a neck first class.
I always travel first class.
Bit dodgy on a Nick Railway warrant, isn't it?
Ah, cool like blooming swans down, isn't it?
New ticket collectors before Exeter, and we are getting off there.
But I thought we was going up to the smoke.
We are. Haven't you travelled on this particular train often enough to know that it's always met at Paddington by a couple of dicks, brimming over with heavy fatherly words of wisdom?
Water off a duck's back to me.
Yes, maybe. This one is too big to take any risks whatsoever.
Oh, I wish you'd tell me a bit more about what's going on.
All in good time, Smudger. Now listen carefully. When you get there, I want you to find out where Jelly Boy Simpson's wife is living very, very discreetly.
I'll give you two guesses about that.
You won't go near her yourself. Just give me a ring at the Ploughboy and Hurdle in Reigate. I shall be booked in as Mr. Alfred Wishart.
Alfred Wishart. Yeah, I'll remember.
Hello?
Mr. Wishart?
Speaking. All right, Smudger. You've taken your time, haven't you?
It wasn't easy, not doing it careful, like you said. I got the gen, though.
Let's have it.
Calls herself Julie Johnson, Mrs. Living at 35 Lampeter Avenue, Battersea, downstairs flat.
With anybody?
Off and on, but not at the moment. Why? Looking for a comfortable pad? I wouldn't recommend it. Not a bad looker, once, but as hard as brass.
Don't be impertinent. Right, we'll be calling round there tonight. I shall pick you up in a taxi in King's Road, corner of Flood Street, about 8.
Ah, we are lucky. There's a light on behind the blind.
All right. Wait for me in the saloon bar at the Dolphin.
How long will you be?
How the hell do I know? If I don't arrive before closing time, give me another ring tomorrow morning.
Bloke never gets told nothing, I don't.
Yes? What do you want?
Mrs. Julie Johnson?
Yes? Who are you?
Your fairy godmother, Dutch. Jelly Boy sends his love.
Well, he can go and... Yes, and you, and the rest of his jailbird pals with him.
Oh, Norky, love, Norky. It's pretty odd on a bloke who's sending you 50 quid.
50 quid? Where'd he get 50 quid from? In
Parkhurst?
Yeah.
Oh, wish I knew. Now, he saw me before I floated through the pearly gates yesterday. Asked me to do a little job for him. Stir on me if you don't want a 50, Nick. I'll get word back to him. It's all off.
Hang on, hang on. Who said I didn't want it? You better come in.
That's better. Oh, my name's Alf Wishart, by the way. So that's the way it is. It seems that this geezer is making a collection of old Chorley's work. He was your father, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Well, he's paying big money for good stuff. He reckons it was the finest imitation jewellery ever made.
Oh, poor old Dad. I can see him now, crouched over that little bench of his. Them sensitive fingers.
Yeah, young Jim was telling me once about a time when he was apprenticed, your old man.
Oh, Jim was good, but he was never a patch on Dad. We're all right, Mr. Wishart.
Oh, come on, love. Call me Elf. I've known Jelly Boy for years.
Look, Jelly Boy wants me to hand over that load of stuff he lifted off the Duke. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And I deliver to this geezer. He pays me 125 for it. I've got to hand you over 100.
100?
Yeah, Jelly says 50's for you. And will you put the other 50 by for when he comes out? Because he's going to need a new set of tools, pretty smallish.
What about the other 25?
Come on, Pete. Jelly says I can keep that for me trouble.
I thought this was all for sweet friendship's sake.
We're pals, if that's what you mean, but I still got to eat, ain't I? You know what it's like for the first few days when you get out? Till you've had time to make a tickle.
Hmm. When do I pick up the 100?
As soon as I deliver the boodle to the bloke.
Well, it's not here. It's dashed over in our old place in Balham.
Well, that's not far. We pick it up tonight. I can get everything fixed in the morning.
But I was going out with a friend for a couple of noggins.
Oh, now, we needn't skip the noggins, love. As a matter of fact, I was going to make so bold as to ask you about it anyhow.
Oh. I think you're a bit of a lad.
Oh, you know what it's like when you first come out, eh?
I should. I've been married to Jelly Boy for 20 years. 11 of which was porridge. Well, come on, let's go.
Hello, Gov, I thought you was never coming. Oh, I've sunk 11 half pints of mild and I'm not back on form yet. How'd it go?
Like a charm, my dear Smudger, that the task would have daunted a lesser man. I did it. Tomorrow, we call on the Duke.
Yes, Father?
Two persons to see Your Grace.
Huh? What do they want?
They wouldn't say with any exactitude, Your Grace, but I gather it is both urgent and confidential.
Indeed.
And that it's something to do with insurance.
I hope they're not trying to sell me any. All right, show them in.
His Grace will see you. Mr. Wishart and Mr. Cooper, Your Grace. The Duke of Ilmingshire.
Come in, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yes? What can I do for you?
It's a matter of some importance, Your Grace, if we could perhaps...
Oh, I see. That'll do, thank you, Father.
Very good, Your Grace.
Good of Your Grace to see us. Perhaps if you would have a look at the contents of this case...
Now, look here, you're not trying to sell me anything, are you?
My God! The jewels!
Exactly, sir, the jewels.
The police haven't said anything about their recovery.
The police are as yet unaware of their recovery, sir.
Oh? And
providing we can come to some satisfactory arrangement, there's no need for them ever to be.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Quite simple. You merely hand me £50,000, and I hand you the jewels, and there the matter ends.
You mean the reward? Well, I don't think it's anything like £50,000. Anyhow, we'll have to deal with the insurance people about that.
Exactly. Would you rather we did?
I think you should. They'll be delighted.
Yes, I bet they will. All right, let's drop the area persiflage, shall we? This is a load of dunnage you had lifted from your safe by a gent name of Jelly Boy Simpson.
I am quite aware of that.
Hold your horses. You drew £85,000 from the insurance people.
Literally, they're insured for that amount.
Nice work. I wish a couple of insurance companies would take my word for a few things without checking. But then I'm not a duke.
Look, I wish you'd tell me what you're getting at.
I'm getting at this. This stuff is fake, and you know it, because you had it made years ago by one Chorley Harding.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Then you had the real stuff broken up and flogged. In other words, Duke boy, you chiseled the insurance company for 85 G's, and they're not going to like that.
What was your proposal?
Like I said, 50 thou. That still leaves you with 35 thou for your little self. And you can have your bag of marbles back.
I couldn't raise 50,000, not just like that. I had a little time.
You have got a little time. You've got exactly 24 hours.
24?
I'll want it in a suitcase, in notes no bigger than fivers, old notes.
Look, it'd take me at least 3 days. I mean, well, one can't just go to the bank and ask for it like that. You don't understand the difficulties. Couldn't you give me a little longer?
24 hours. Oh, this stuff goes through the letterbox of the company with a little note telling all about it, with statements from the family who made it, and a copy to a couple of the more sensational weeklies. Do I make myself clear?
Quite clear. I'll do my best, but I can't promise I'll have it all, not in 24 hours.
You better try, my dear Duke. Try damned hard. Right. This time tomorrow. No, you needn't ring for Jeeves. We shall see ourselves out.
Gorge, you was marvellous, Gov. You had him over a barrel from the moment you opened your mouth. Pretty to watch it was. Lummy, 50,000. And you acted like it was a couple of fivers.
It's all in the preliminary work, my dear chap. Carefully prepared ground, that's the secret. Yes, I got the buzz about this years ago, but I just saved it for the opportune moment. It always comes, you know, Smudger. It's knowing the moment that counts. Till tomorrow, then.
Mr. Wishart and Mr. Cooper, Your Grace.
Come in, gentlemen. Father, I don't want to be disturbed.
Very good, Your Grace.
I'm afraid I couldn't raise it all.
How much have you got?
Only 15,000.
15?
That was a very devil of a job. The bank asked questions.
Well, you'd better find the answers. You know my terms. 50,000 or the story of the ducal jewel swindle gets plastered all over the country in glorious technicolor. I'm not fooling Ilmingshire. I'll take the 15,000 now, but I'm not leaving these faces here. You've got another 24 hours to raise the rest. Now, have you got that?
This is blackmail.
Of course it's blackmail, you damned fool. What did you think I was playing? Charades? Right. Count that lot, Smudger, and make certain there are no neatly cut pieces of telephone book sandwiched between the notes to make the weight. I have seen that happen before.
I'll watch it, Gov.
I'll bet you will.
What?
Right, hold it, both of you.
Who the hell are you?
Mr. Pawson, you wound me, seeing that it was me who put the arm on you last time. Webster's the name. Chief Inspector CID, as if you didn't know. And this is Sergeant Peters.
Another dance crew.
All right. Now the politenesses have been observed, we'll go walkies. Your Grace, I'll take the money and the jewellery, if you don't mind. I'll give you a receipt, of course.
Oh, by all means. When will you want me down at the station?
Oh, about 3:30, if it's convenient, sir. All right, Pawson.
Hands off.
I'm afraid this is going to be a naughty one. Oh, blackmail with your record. The porridge will be running out of your ears by the time they open the pearlies for you. Serves you right, you zombie, getting out of your class. You should have stuck to petty fraud.
I didn't have nothing to do with this. I just come along with him to carry the bag. I didn't know he was working the black. Honest, I
Shut
didn't...
up, you! All right, Inspector. Chief Inspector.
Maybe I will eat some more porridge. But this noble duke will be doing the same. Criminal conspiracy, I think they call it. He has fiddled an insurance company for 85,000.
Really?
Yes, really.
Shall I tell him, Your Grace?
Yes.
If he knows the whole story, he probably won't waste quite so much of my time. Those sparklers, my lad, are the genuine article.
What?
His Grace still has the faces.
I tell you, the real stuff was broken up on this man's instructions and sold by one Charlie Harding.
In a pig's eye, it was. That's a shrewd little story put around by Jelly Boy and Jim Harding, just to keep the boys from putting the old malarkey across Julie. They wanted that stuff still there when they came out, but they never had the time to stash it properly, and Julie's frailty was worrying them stiff. Good afternoon, Your Grace.
Afternoon.
Oh, don't cry, Pawson. It'll make your eyes red. Then the superintendent will think I've been nasty to you.
In Honesty's The Best Fiddle by Barclay Mather, the part of Pawson was played by Henry Stamper, Smudger by Lewis Stringer, Harding by Geoffrey Matthews, Smiler by Anthony Hall, The Duke of Ilmingshire by Geoffrey Wincott, Julie by Mardy Head, Detective Chief Inspector Webster by Wilfred Babbage, and the Prison Doctor by Nigel Graham.